Echoes of the Syracuse University football season are fading, even as other colleges continue finishing out the year. College sports was shaped by the COVID pandemic and reactions to social justice issues. Syracuse was dealing with racism and inequality long before current demonstrations. And a recent panel discussion hosted by WAER alum Beth Moens looked back decades to such a protest. WAER's Ben Schulman has reflections from a group of student athletes who fought for equality 50 years ago.
I think there is no finish line when it comes to racial and diversity issues and social justice issues.
Former Syracuse football player Dana Harrell knows a lot about the fight for social justice. The 1971 graduating class member has been a part of the struggle for over 50 years. In 1970, nine African-American players, incorrectly counted as eight, boycotted the Syracuse football team in the hopes of equal treatment. This past Friday, six members of the Syracuse Eight spoke with WAER alumni Beth Moens on a Zoom hosted by the Newhouse Sports Media Center about the boycott. 1973 alum John Loban explained that despite the complicated journey, the end goal was simple.
I'm willing to play and give, but I want respect. And I think that's all we're looking for is respect.
The players asked for simple concessions like equal access to tutoring and better medical treatment for all. Harrell says the reception of those requests was quite poor.
The coaches and the athletic department was generally negative on the guys who boycotted.
Some of that came from the biases of head coach Ben Schwartzwalder. Loban remembers the skipper pitting racial rights against playing time during the sit-out.
Ben asked him about, what do you want to be, a football player or black? And Greg says, I'm only going to be a football player a little time in my life, but I'm going to be black all of it.
Other backlash came from the boosters that helped fund the program, as Harrell recounts.
They were writing letters and notes and telegrams to the chancellor, expressing their displeasure with us, and a few choice names.
The Syracuse Eight were not alone, though.
We were fortunate in that we had four mentors.
Two African-American professors and two grad students helped advise the young men. Not to mention, the Eight had the most important ally of all on their side.
I don't want to overlook the importance of our relationship with Chancellor John Corbally. It was because of that connection we were able to make with him early on. And he understood just what we're saying tonight. He understood that 50 years ago that we were trying to make Syracuse University better.
The chancellor helped commission a report that acknowledged racism within the Syracuse football program. Ronald Womack thought having something like this would be instrumental to the Syracuse Eight's success. He was stunned.
I couldn't understand. I said, wait a minute, we're trying to get Ben Schwartzwalder moved out. And I said, and the chancellor got moved.
The Syracuse Eight never got its immediate justice, and the sacrifice was heavy. But some members, like Greg Allen, don't see it as something taken away, but rather something given.
What we did was we gifted Syracuse University. We gifted Syracuse University our time, our effort, our aspirations, our dreams.
The Syracuse Eight sacrificed the present in the hopes of bettering the future, and that's their ultimate legacy. For WAER, I'm Ben Schulman.
Thanks to the Newhouse Communications School's Sports Media Center for help with this story. For more on this and other local news stories, you can visit our website, WAER.org.